This is ProBlogger.
Hey there, it's Darren from ProBlogger here. Welcome to episode 106 of the ProBlogger podcast, where today I want to talk about going full-time as a blogger. I actually had this question come in from Charlotte. When did you make the transition from blogging just being a hobby to blogging as a profitable business? And what was the turning point for you? What big changes did you make around that time to get where you're at now? Thanks so much for the question, Charlotte. You can submit a question anytime. My email address, don't tell anyone, is darren@problogger.net. They all come in directly to me. So if you do have a question that you want me to answer in future, please put it in there. But today I want to give you seven things that happened around the time that I went full-time that I think contributed to that happening. These are not seven things you must do. This is not a blueprint to follow, seven steps you have to take in this particular order. These are just seven things that happened as I thought back to 2004 when this was happening that I wanted to share with you today. I actually shared these straight back to Charlotte via email. So let's get into today's show.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement. Monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, just very quickly to give you a little bit of context to the time that I'm talking about. For those of you who are new to ProBlogger, I started blogging in 2002. It was November. I remember the exact moment, and at that moment, I had no intention of it ever being anything more than an experiment and a hobby. And in the back of my mind, I'm pretty sure I thought I'd give up on it pretty quickly because I had a bit of a track record of doing that. I'd had 20 jobs in the last 10 years. I had a garage full of sporting equipment that I'd only ever used once. I'm that kind of guy. I never really stuck at anything. So I really had no intention of this ever being a life-changing decision or a job. But I got very hooked on it. And within a week or so, I had a few readers and I was hooked on this idea of creating content, putting it out there and seeing what people thought and interacting with the few readers that I had. And so very quickly, it became a bit of an obsession for me. It took about 12 months where I was just blogging on a personal blog about anything and everything. And then around 12 months in, I realized this blog was starting to cost me a little bit of money and I had to find a way to break even on it because I was newly married. My wife was working as a brand new lawyer and didn't have a whole big income. I was working part-time jobs at the time. And so I kind of had to find a way to pay its way for the server costs and the domain and all that type of thing. And so I started to dabble about 12 months after starting blogging with some ads on the blog using Google AdSense and recommending a few products on Amazon through their affiliate program. Now, the first few days of both of these experiments didn't really lead to a whole heap, a few dollars here and there in the first weeks. But gradually over the next 12 months, it grew to a point where I started to see it as a part-time job, and a day a week of income, then 2 days a week, and then 3 days a week. And about 2 years after I started blogging, about a year after I started dabbling with making money from it, I was at about 2 or 3 days a week. And I had the dream of being a full-time blogger one day. And I knew it was probably on the cards that was the way it was heading, but it certainly wasn't heading there fast. It had taken a year to get it from 2 years to get it from a hobby to a part-time job. It was around that time, 2 years in, that things started to escalate for me. And there are a number of contributing factors, and I kind of want to run through them now for you. Some of these I've shared before, some of them I haven't really gone into. The first one, and probably the most obvious one, was around that time my traffic got to a point where I was able to make enough money. Traffic gradually grew over those 2 years, and it continued to grow after those 2 years as well. And I was, as soon as I made the decision I was going to make money out of this, I became, I guess, a little bit more proactive about building the traffic on the blog as well. And so this is one of the things I would say to you if you do have that dream of becoming full-time. Traffic is probably the biggest contributing factor, or one of them. No matter how you monetize your blog, whether it's through advertising or affiliate or having your own product, you're going to need traffic, and you're going to need more traffic than what you started with. So you do need to put some thinking and some proactive kind of energy into growing your traffic. And I'll include in today's show notes some links to some previous podcasts on the topic of growing traffic to your blog. So traffic was definitely a factor, and it was something that I made a priority. And I think that's really important. You don't just want to, you know, prioritize creating great content. That's certainly something you should be thinking about, but you want to prioritize getting off your blog and promoting it. And I'm going to talk about that in a couple of moments as well. So that was one thing. The second thing I'll say is that I think around a year to 2 years into my blogging, I started to think about my readers in a slightly different way. And I started to write more for my readers than for me. Probably the first year of my blogging, or my first personal blog, I was just writing for self-expression, and I was interested to see how people responded to what I wanted to say. Around a year, 2 years in, I guess I started to pay more attention to what my readers wanted to read about, what they were searching for, what questions they were asking, and I started to anticipate their needs. And so it was a bit of a transition there, I guess. Now, I still write a bit for self-expression. I write to share what I'm thinking and feeling and experimenting with, but I'm doing that because I also know my readers want that. And so I guess that shaped some of the content on my blog a little bit more. And one of the things that I did around the two-year time was begin to write for what I thought people would be searching for in a few weeks, a few months' time. So to give you a really simple example of this, American Idol was on television at the time. I think that show's still on. And in Australia, there was Australian Idol as well. And so this talent show was on telly. And I started to write about Australian Idol on my personal blog. And I realized people started landing on my blog because I had written a post titled Australian Idol Winner. And I'd written that post predicting who would win. I actually got it right. But in the lead up to the grand final, people started to arrive on my blog searching for the winner and searching for information on that. And so this kind of taught me that if you can anticipate what people are going to be searching for on Google in 2, 3, 4 weeks' time, then you can put yourself in a position for that type of traffic. And I noticed a massive spike in traffic the night the winner was announced as well. And so I began to write some content in anticipation of what people would be searching for. So anticipating my readers' needs or potential readers' needs as well. Around that time, we also did a blog on the Olympic Games. We were one of the first people to have an Olympic Games blog. I'm sure the Rio Games coming up, there'll be lots of blogs on that topic. But we wrote lots of posts in advance that had details of every single event that would be running and had keywords in those pages for, you know, winner, gold medal, those sorts of terms that we knew people would be searching for. So I did this with a friend, Regan from New Zealand, and together we ran this blog for 2 weeks. I think it was the Athens Games. And again, that blog made, I think we made $10,000 or something in those 2 weeks. And that was around the time I went full-time with my blogging. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is I started to not just write for self-expression, I started to write in anticipation of my readers' needs, sometimes what they would be searching for. I don't do that a whole heap anymore, I have to say. There's probably a bit more competition today than there was, but I'm really paying attention to what posts were ranking well, what type of posts my readers were appreciating, what type of questions I was getting asked. I started to really pay attention a lot to my readers and their needs. So that would be something I would encourage you to think really carefully about is, you know, who's reading your blog, what do they need, how are you going to change their life in some way.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
The third thing I would say is, it wasn't something I did. It was just a different way of thinking. I guess I had a mind shift. I regularly say, and regular readers will have heard me say this, if you want your blog to be a business, you need to treat it as a business. And for me, this happened around this time, this sort of two-year mark. I'd been telling my wife for a while, you know, I'm going to be a full-time blogger one day. And I kind of was showing her graphs of, you know, in 3 or 4 years' time, I'll be full-time and things keep growing the way they were. And I had this idea that I would one day be a full-time blogger, but it was a dream. And I wasn't really acting in a way that was speeding that process up a whole heap. And so my wife and I sat down and we set ourselves a deadline. And the deadline deadline was I needed to be a full-time blogger in 6 months or give up blogging, go find a real job. And that really put a rocket under me. I think it was partly about having a deadline, but I think it was also that shift in my thinking that, you know, I'm not going to treat my blog as a business one day. I'm going to treat it as a business today. Even though it's not a full-time thing now, I'm going to treat it as if it is. Now, I still had other jobs and I still had other responsibilities, but I started to push harder strategically. And a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about, you know, blogging smart, and I suggested 9 different areas you should be being strategic about with your blogging. And they were the kind of things that I started to do around this time. I started to push harder with trying to find advertisers. Up until that point, I'd relied upon AdSense ads on my blog, and I'd never approached an advertiser. And so, you know, it was around that time I started to ring advertisers and say, would you advertise on my blog? I hated doing that, but I knew that if I was going to be full-time, I needed to do that type of thing, and I pushed myself out of my comfort zone to do it. I started to think more strategically about content. I started thinking more strategically about traffic. I started thinking, you know, about starting new blogs and diversifying my business. And so it was around that time that I began to start other blogs on other niches. I've had 30 blogs over the years. I only have 2 today. But the 2 that have worked came out of that experimenting with lots of different types of content. I did that by starting lots of blogs. I started to pay more attention to what other people were doing and learning from them. I started to learn more about search engine optimization. So I guess for me, it was that mind shift of starting to treat my blog as a business today and having that deadline kind of looming over me that pushed me into treating my blog today as the business that I want it to become in the future. And I find this is the case for a lot of bloggers, that they have these dreams, but they're not acting in a way that would make those dreams come true. So maybe that is part of it for some of you who are listening today. So the 4th thing that I want to talk about is diversifying my income streams. As I've mentioned 2 or 3 times now, AdSense was a big part of my early experimenting with monetizing blogs, and Amazon was the other one. I started out with those 2 income streams. Almost within a week or 2 of each other, I started to experiment with them. But I realized very quickly that whilst my traffic was growing, that there was another way to grow my income even faster, and that was to add new income streams into my business. And so I began to experiment with other advertising networks. I began to experiment with promoting other products as an affiliate. And later on began to experiment with, you know, creating my own products to sell. But that came a little bit later. Now, I talk in episode 48, I think, of this particular podcast, where I talk about, you know, all of the different income streams that you might have as a blogger. Actually, I just published a post in the last couple of weeks on ProBlogger titled How to Make Money Blogging. It's an update of an old post, and I'll link to that in today's show notes as well. There's so many different ways of making money from blogging, but almost every full-time blogger I've ever met has more than one income stream. So don't just become obsessed with the one. Think about, you know, could I experiment with something else? And you may not implement the second income stream now, but be working towards it. Be working towards releasing that product or researching affiliate products or getting advertisers on your blog or experimenting with different ad networks. I think it's really important to do that. I remember the day when I added a second ad network onto my blog. Up until that point, I've been having just AdSense, and I started to experiment with another one called Chitika, Chitika. It's still around today. I haven't used it for a long time, so I can't really talk to whether it's worth doing anymore, but I added Chitika ads onto my blog. Didn't remove the AdSense ones, just had these 2 ads running side by side. They were quite different in nature, so they didn't really compete, and it doubled my income overnight. And so, you know, diversifying your income can really speed things up if you do it smart. That's 4. 5 is I began to become more of a collaborator with other bloggers and started to look to what other people were doing to learn from them, but also partner with them. I started to go to conferences in America About 3 years into my blogging, to learn and invested in my learning, but began to work with other bloggers. Now, I did start to work with other bloggers quite early and collaborate and barter my services and their services. I had other bloggers help me with my design and that type of thing. But it was around the time that I went full time that I began to partner with other bloggers to develop my first product. I developed a course off the back of ProBlogger. I think that was in 2004 with a guy called Andy Wibbles. It was called Six Figure Blogging. And it was about how to make money from blogging. And now I began to partner with other bloggers to start a blog network and started to collaborate with other bloggers. And, you know, we had this attitude, I guess, back then that is still around with some bloggers today, that if I promote you and you promote me, then we all grow. And that's good for everyone. I suspect competitiveness has sort of crept in a little bit today, but I still see, you know, there's opportunities for us as bloggers, even in the same niche, to support one another. Now, I've reached out, even in the last 2 weeks, I've reached out to another blogger in the photography space and have offered to promote some of his stuff on my Facebook page if he'll promote some of our stuff on his Facebook page. I don't see him as a competitor. I see it as an opportunity for us to both grow as a result of collaborating. And I guess that was an attitude change that happened in me around this time as well. And so I'd encourage you to think about, you know, how could you do some networking with other bloggers in your niche? Is there a conference that you could be attending to meet other bloggers in your niche? Could you be reaching out and offering to work together with other people to collaborate and partner in different ways? It need not be a formal partnership, but could just be an informal collaboration.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
That's number five. Number six is something that I've kind of touched on already, but I do want to stress it because I think it's important for many bloggers. One of the times in my own growth as a blogger where things really did escalate in terms of my income streams was having a product to sell. I mentioned the first product that I created with Andy way back in 2004, Six Figure Blogging. It didn't really last that long, but it was a great learning experience. We did make some money off it, not a whole heap, but it was a great learning experience, and it informed a lot of what I did in the years since then in creating other products. I've told the story many times before on this podcast about creating my first ebooks on both ProBlogger and Digital Photography School, so I'm not going to retell them now, but they certainly led to brand new income streams that helped me to diversify. And I really would encourage you to think about, you know, how could you create something to sell on your blog rather than just relying upon advertising, which is where you're effectively sending people away from your blog and you're making money from that. Or even affiliate marketing, you're sending people to someone else and they potentially become their reader and their customer. And whilst that can make you some money and that's a good thing, I want to encourage you to consider making something that you serve your readers with, a product that you can be proud of, something that is going to change your readers' lives in some way, but keeps them on your site and has the opportunity to deepen that relationship that you have with them. Now, I do know it's hard to create that first product. It took me months to get my first product together, but it's something you're going to learn a lot through. You're going to bring a new income stream in, and it might just open up a whole new opportunity for you as well. Now, I've talked in much more depth about creating your first product in episode 67. So I would encourage you to go and listen to that episode after this one. If creating a product is something that you are interested in, I outline 8 steps to follow to create that first product. So it's probably the best thing I ever did in terms of monetizing my blog. Okay, the seventh thing, and this is the last thing that I just want to touch on briefly, that happened around this time of going full-time, was that I began to shift in my thinking about sources of traffic. The first 2 years of my blog, search engine traffic was number one for me. Probably 95% of my traffic was coming from search engines. Now, there's nothing wrong with search engine traffic. It's actually really good. It's fantastic. I love it. But it's risky when that much of your traffic is coming from search engines. And it wasn't very satisfying as well, because what was going on is that people were coming to my blog, they were reading my content, and then they were bouncing off again and never coming back again. And whilst I could turn that traffic into money through advertising and a little bit of affiliate marketing, that customer was gone forever. And there was no ongoing relationship there with that reader. And so I began to think about how can I blog in a way that is more relational, that hooks people in and keeps them coming back to my blog over time. And so I began to think a little bit differently about search engine traffic. To me, search engine traffic is a great way to open the relationship. But what you do next is really the most important thing. So if you've got a lot of search traffic coming into your blog, that's fantastic. Congratulations. A lot of us would like more of it. But it's not the end game. That's the first step. Having them on your site gives you an opportunity to hook them in some way. You know, I really would encourage you to try and think about how can you get them on your email list, how do you can get them to follow you on social media, and to put a whole heap of time and energy into building a sticky site. And again, I've got some further reading on that and some further listening on that in today's show notes as well. This whole rethinking of search engine traffic was led to a whole heap of other stuff as well, and I haven't got time to go into great detail on it, but it ended up changing my whole blogging strategy. Up until 2 years in, my main blog at that time that I was making money from was a camera review blog, and it was getting all the search engine traffic, but I realized that no one was ever going to subscribe to that blog, because if you are reading a camera review blog, you're more than likely just buying a camera. And then once you've got that camera, you'll never come back again because you've got the camera. That's the time where I started to think about a new blog, Digital Photography School, which I ended up starting because I wanted to have a blog where people would come back to again and again over time.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
There are seven things that I think contributed to me going full-time. Number one, it's partly about traffic. Number two, it's about thinking more about your readers and creating content more for your readers than just for yourself, anticipating their needs, solving their problems, answering their questions. Number three is a mind shift. If you want your blog to become a business one day, treat it as one today. Number four was diversifying my income streams. Number five was collaborating more with other bloggers, learning from other bloggers, partnering with other bloggers. Number six was having a product to sell, something of your own that you can create to sell to your readers. And number seven was thinking about search engine traffic in a different way. It's the opening of a relationship and thinking about creating a blog where you hook readers in and serve them over the long haul. I hope they've been helpful. I'm sure there's a whole heap of other things I could talk about in terms of going full-time. And I'm sure that many of you who have made that transition or are in the process of it could also add to this discussion. You can head to today's show notes where there is a heap more reading and some more listening. Every link I've mentioned today will be there. It's at problogger.com/podcast/106. While you're there, you might also want to check out the new design of ProBlogger, which I'm hoping will be launched by the time you hear this. We actually just launched it. Well, I'm hoping it will be launched over on the blog section of the site. It will roll out into the podcast show notes in the coming months as well. So if you go to problogger.net, you'll see this newly designed ProBlogger blog. I'm a bit nervous, I'm a bit excited, but I'd love to get your feedback on that as well. So if you do have any feedback, feel free to leave a comment on the post that I'll have up there explaining the new features of the design, or on today's show notes as well. That's more than happy for you to leave that comment there, or you, as I said before, my email address is darren@problogger.net, and you can email me anytime with a question or feedback that you might have. Thanks for listening today. I hope it helps you in your own journey to increasing your own blogging income, whether that be to a full-time level or a part-time thing. Everyone's different. There's no one way to do this, and I hope it does serve you in that process as well. Look forward to chatting with you in episode 107 of the ProBlogger podcast.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger, or search ProBlogger on iTunes.